service today. And as always, we will begin with a prayer, asking God to be a part of everything. And certainly, God, as we do bow before you, we are blessed far more than we realize, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us, that even at times when we probably are not very lovable, you'd still love us and care and watch over us. And I thank you for today, for the opportunity to come together and to experience time with you. I do ask that you would take this message, that you would speak it to each one of us, that we could hear it and understand as it is laid out to each one. We thank you. And God, this is your message, your words. Please ring through what you want. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. The title of today's message is Mercy. What does mercy mean? What is that? And what does it mean to you personally? Can you think of a time that maybe you experienced mercy? And is it something that you could tell others about? Can you tell about an experience where you were left with no doubt that mercy intervened? Mercy was a part of the event of that life, of what was going on. And as we go through this message, I want you to hold on to some of the definitions that mercy has. And we're going to start with those. Mercy is an event to be grateful for, especially because its occurrence prevents something unpleasant or provides relief from suffering. A second definition, performed out of a desire to relieve suffering, motivated by compassion. And then Millard Erickson in Christianity Today defines mercy as, God's mercy is tenderhearted, loving compassion for his people. It is his tenderness of heart toward the needy. Who's the needy? I think we all are. I think we all fall under that category of needy. But to know that God is merciful and his mercy. And when we think about those definitions, hold on to them as we go through today's message. As we think about the reading that was given, did you see any mercy in that? Did you recognize mercy in what was read and how it plays out? You know, a story or a piece of history for me on mercy was the last few days that my dad was alive. And knowing that the inevitable was going to happen, and God in his mercy allowed it to happen. It was a peaceful, very surreal experience for me as I watched him take his last breath. And I knew in my inner being, the merciful God had reached in and taken hold. So mercy can be in something like that to stop. There's other forms of mercy that you're blessed with, untold blessings. We're going to read out of Romans. We've kind of had that theme going, and we're going to continue. Today we're going to pick it up in chapter 11 and read verses 1 through 2. Paul starts out, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? For a reference point, if you want to go back and read the story that he's referring to from Elijah, it's in 1 Kings chapter 19. After, you'll remember in chapter 18, after defeating the pagan prophets of Jezebel. Elijah, after that huge euphoria, he ran out of fear from Jezebel, the queen. And he hid. And he asked God to let him die. He said, just let me go. I'm the last one left in all of the country that honors you. And God proceeded to say, no, you're not. There's at least 7,000 other people in the country. He let him know in a merciful way that he was not by himself, that he had God on his side. In verse 1, as we read, Paul asks, has God rejected his people? And he's referring to the Israelites, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And Paul uses himself as proof. And you have to remember, Paul had grown up steeped in the theology and religion of the law. He knew it very well as a Pharisee. He was converted and respected and trusted and believed in Christianity and Jesus Christ. And he used himself as proof that God had not rejected his people. Some might think or say that they have rejected God. And there are people that would say that. And their immediate response is, so God has rejected them. And that's a misnomer right there. It's not true. Just because someone says, I've rejected you, God, doesn't mean that God rejects you. You are always loved. We'll go on to Romans 11 and read verses 29 through 32. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. You know, I read that over and over and over, trying to make sense of what he's actually saying there. So we're going to break it down. Irrevocable, not able to be changed or reversed or recovered. It's final. It is always there. How do we know that? For the sake of the patriarchs, those in the Old Testament, that God was faithful to his covenant and promises. He told them what would happen. He told Abraham, for example, that his nation that came from him would be as the sand on the shore. There was untold billions and billions of people that probably are a part of that. And God never goes back on his gifts or his promises. They always stand. So that's a premise that we can hang on to, that God always is true to his word. We're going to go back in verse 30 and 31, and we'll read this again. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedient. So they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. And I kept thinking, who is you and they, and trying to put it in perspective. What was Paul saying here? It is because of disobedient Israel that disobedient Gentiles have received mercy. And it is because of this mercy to disobedient Gentiles that disobedient Jews have received mercy too. That helped a little bit, but I'm still kind of reaching. Basically, disobedient Israel opened the door to the Gentiles. When they rejected God, God reached out to to the Gentiles. It opened the door when they rejected, when they were disobedient. And because of this mercy of the Gentiles accepting and becoming Christians in that time, the disobedient Jews will receive mercy. God's plan allowed for all people. But had Israel, the Jewish people, never disobeyed, how would that have opened the door to the Gentiles? Israel rejected. The Jewish rejected the Gentiles. But when they rejected God, when they disobeyed, it opened the door. In verse 32, for God has consigned all to disobedience. He knows that humanity will always fall under those traits, that he may have mercy on all, that God can have mercy for everyone. There is no possibility of escape except as God's mercy releases us. Without God's mercy, we have no future. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Believing in Jesus gives us God's mercy and escapes from that prison, that awfulness. Human disobedience is the prison from which divine mercy liberates us. Going back to one of the definitions, an event to be grateful for, especially because its occurrence prevents something unpleasant or provides relief from suffering. Human disobedience is the prison from which divine mercy liberates us. That definition, provides relief from suffering, that ends it. The disobedience that we have through Jesus Christ is removed. The end of God's way will be mercy. Mercy uncompromised. Mercy on the fullness of both Jews and Gentiles. Mercy on all without distinction. And that's not a universalism approach. God chooses and desires to apply mercy to every human being, but not every human being will accept it. But that promise of mercy is there. We are disobedient. That's a part of our DNA as a human. God knows this and is not in any way surprised. When we make poor choices and are disobedient, God sees it. He knows, he's not surprised, but he has put his mercy in play. Our disobedience continually points to God's mercy. This is Paul's main point in here. God will not and cannot reject us because of who he is, not because of us, but because he is the God that loves and is merciful and compassionate, and he will not reject us. Having that, to recognize the value and the importance and the clarity of what mercy is, that steps in and keeps us from suffering, allows things to work out at God's timing and his plan, as we struggle with making right and wrong choices, God has interceded with mercy because he is mercy and is merciful. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions or want to respond, we can be reached at our website, gcderby.org, or on our Facebook page of Grace Communion Derby. We pray that you have a safe and blessed week.